Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The other side of the pillow.
I got the answer to your question, so call me AI. Everybody knows the ball won't lie. Some try to test us, and you can too. But you can't step over like your name was Tyloo. Bloody daddy, we don't stop the body. AC in the place, flanker fouling everybody. Don't come through if your game is weak. Get knocked on your ass, Maurice Cheeks.
Top five. Yeah.
Pulse and Dust! Can you feel the raindrops? Pulse and Dust! New breed of rebel rock!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Punks and Dunks, a basketball podcast from gettingitout.net. And it's been a couple weeks, but as the regular season is closing out, I think what better time than to wrap it up with a little bit of a discussion and to make sure you're up to date with all the relevant news. Of course, the big news at this point of the year is always going to be playoff seeding, and the games that are taking place this week have serious ramifications on exactly that. And with the season wrapping up Sunday, there are still several playoff positions that have yet to be determined. Now, we know the 10 teams from each conference that'll be there. And in both conferences, we know who 9 and 10 are likely to be. In the East, that's Atlanta and Chicago. They're not going anywhere. They have no chance to move up to 7 or 8 at this point in the season. There are not enough games left. And I know we're just forgetting about them, right? We're saying, yeah, that's an easy victory for whoever loses that 7-8 game. And yeah, in all likelihood, that is correct. But they still all have a chance. And that's kind of the beauty of the play-in tournament. One of those teams could very well sneak in to the 8 seed and have the privilege of getting decimated by Boston. Unlikely, but it is possible. The rest of the East is currently looking like this. Boston has the one seed and has had the one seed since the first game of the year. They're a dominant force and everybody on earth hates it. I also saw they just wrapped up Drew Holiday with a 4-year extension. Seems a little excessive, but I understand it. And typically, if they would sign a guy like that for a long-term deal, I would hope he kind of falls off a cliff. But Drew Holiday is so goddamn likable. Though I'm sure by the end of those 4 years, I will not feel the same. Milwaukee took a 1.5 game lead on the New York Knicks with a victory over the Orlando Magic. Of course, there was no Giannis in that game, but they were on top of the Magic from the jump. And it wasn't really a competitive affair at all, if I'm being honest. The Knicks are hot on their heels, though unlikely to catch them, just given the amount of time left in the year. And they themselves have a half game lead over the Cleveland Cavaliers for the 3 seed. So it's even possible that the 3-4 could flip. Orlando is currently sitting at 5, but they've got the same record as the Pacers, who are sitting at 6. It's getting complicated here, is what I'm trying to say. Philadelphia is 1 game back at the 7 seed, and the Heat are 1 game behind them at the 8. Later this week, the Sixers and Magic will square off, and if Philadelphia wins, it's likely they could move up to that 6 seed. Who would they end up with in the first round? Most likely New York. It's possible Cleveland. It's also possible they could end up as the 7 or 8 seed and have to deal with the play-in, end up playing the Bucks or Celtics. And I wonder who Boston or Milwaukee prefer to match up against in that first round. Maybe it doesn't matter so much for Boston. I'm sure they're comfortable with whoever it is, though they've got some demons to exercise against the Miami Heat. I think they're pretty comfortable otherwise. Milwaukee, on the other hand, has had a hell of a time with Indiana this year. The Heat took them out in the first round of last year. And Philadelphia presents plenty of matchup problems and can score right there with them. And maybe even Orlando has a shot at landing in that spot. I'm not sure. I don't know how the playoff I'm truly not sure. It's a little bit complicated at this point. We got to see how it's going to shake out. And that's kind of given me anxiety. In the West, it's just as complicated. But not that number one seed. Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets just defeated the Minnesota Timberwolves last night to reclaim first place with a one-game lead over both the Wolves and the Thunder. The Timberwolves dropped into second and hold a tiebreaker over the Thunder, who remain in third despite a victory over the Spurs. The Clippers, fresh off a home-and-home against the Phoenix Suns, winning one, losing one, are currently at fourth, and worst they can be is fifth, and they will definitely play the Dallas Mavericks in the first round. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. The Mavericks just clinched the Southwest Division, which is funny because it doesn't matter, but sometimes it does. In tiebreaker scenarios, they take division records and division winners into account. Personally, I think the divisions should either be eliminated or used in the same way they are in football. Give me the top two of each division into the playoffs and four wild cards into the play-in. I think that adds up to 10. The NBA is always looking for ways to change things, and that would change things. The bottom of the Western Conference playoff race. Some might call it a mess. I would just call it confusing. The Suns have the opportunity to break out of the play-in tournament as they are only a half game behind the Pelicans. The Kings are likely to stay in that 7-8 game, and the Lakers and Warriors are definitely going to be in the play-in. There is potential that this year in the playoffs, we do not have LeBron James or Stephen Curry. What kind of world is this? While most injury updates have been good in the last week or so, including the return of Trae Young last night, who put up a monumental 14 points in a loss to the lowly Charlotte Hornets. Honestly, I got a question why you brought him back with three games left in the year. Four, I guess, because they have a play-in. I like the spirit, but let us watch this awful DeJounte Murray show. We're enjoying it, and we can't tell you why. But of course, Giannis Antetokounmpo, a name I'm not confident in saying, went down with what could have been a seriously devastating injury, a calf strain, as they're calling it right now. A lot of people are comparing this to the year when Kevin Durant went down with a calf thing, forced his way back early in the finals, and ruptured his Achilles against the Toronto Raptors. So understandably, people are using that as a cautionary tale with Giannis and his calf strain. He sat out last night. It didn't matter. The Bucks whooped the Magic. And with a 1.5 game lead on the Knicks, if they can walk out with one more victory, it shouldn't affect him. However, what's he going to be like when he comes back? If they end up matching up against the Pacers, you got to deal with the speed. If it's the Sixers or the Knicks, it's the physicality. And typically he holds his own, of course. But if he's hobbled, who knows? Which raises the question, what the fuck happens if the Bucks are again eliminated in the first round? You can't fire Doc. Not at this point. They already have three coaches on the payroll. What do the players start to think? Giannis is kind of famous for these vague but direct comments on the organization and what they need to do. It's pretty funny how the players and coaches are currently blaming like the Cowboys for not working hard enough. So it's blame shifting abound. I heard another podcast that apparently locally Damian Lillard is known as Lame Lillard, and he didn't want to be there in the first place. I'm just saying there's a possibility for turmoil, a lot of it in Milwaukee, should they suffer another first round defeat. In Philadelphia, Joel Embiid recently made his return, and the team has been on a hot streak ever since. Actually, it started a game before his return, but it's been all W's since the big guy has been back. And in that first game, he looked a little shaky, definitely winded and out of shape. But since he has improved with each outing, earlier this week, he put up 37 against the lowly Detroit Pistons. And yeah, we don't celebrate that 37 very much, given the opposition. But me, a Sixers fan, just loves seeing him out there and showing the ability to be back into his pre-injury dominant form. This ramp up is going about as good as possible, though he did have a couple slips and scares where he grabs that knee and grimaces, and it worries me quite a bit. But hey, this is the way it is. Going into the playoffs with an injured Joel Embiid is nothing new. In other good injury news for Philadelphia, DeAnthony Melton returned to the lineup. He's been out for very long and is an essential piece of their starting lineup. Though it is interesting what their rotation is going to be with all these guys coming back from injuries and the positive play of Kelly Oubre. They've got a couple of veteran wings forwards that I'm not sure how they do their rotation. Does Kyle Lowry get to start alongside Tyrese Maxey? Does Melton get that spot back? Does Cam Payne exit the rotation? Is Robert Covington the last remaining injured player going to come back, going to be part of the team? I don't know. We will see. And maybe each aren't big parts, and in the big picture won't matter very much. But as a fan, I'm interested to see how that works out. It's time to go streaking. A quick check on the longest winning and losing streaks in the NBA. The aforementioned Philadelphia 76ers are on a 6-game winning streak and hope to continue that this Friday against the Orlando Magic and potentially end the season with 8 games in a row as they square off against the Brooklyn Nets in their season finale this Sunday. But what's more impressive is what's going on in the land of Joseph Smith Jr. The Utah Jazz have lost a miraculous 13 games in a row, and you can tell me they're not tanking, and I am not going to believe you. I don't know what exactly they're tanking for. I'm not sure what their pick situation is. I know they have a lot of them. Does it behoove them to move down in the standings? I guess you could argue it does for any team that is at the bottom of their conference. But much like the Toronto Raptors, who recently won a game, the plummet is quite impressive and pretty funny to watch when they are clearly actively trying to lose these games. But hey, good for them. We all got to have goals, you know? At this point, I love to get this episode's guests, but I got to get something off my chest. And if you're like, we're tired of hearing about the Philadelphia 76ers, well, I'm sorry. I got something I got to speak on. This season, I became a big fan of one Patrick Beverley. When the Sixers signed him, I became totally invested. But it was his podcast, the Pat Bev Podcast with Roan, that made me absolutely love him. He's funny as hell and far wiser than I would have ever suspected. Early in the season, he proved himself to be like an extremely valuable asset as not only a veteran presence, but also a key rotation piece, which is a surprise to me. So to put it lightly, I was extremely disappointed when he was traded at the deadline to the Milwaukee Bucks. Everyone knew it was a move made to bring in Kyle Lowry after his buyout from the Hornets, and I hated it. I understood bringing on the hometown veteran. Philly has been linked to acquiring Lowry since his free agency a couple years ago when he ended up with Miami. And with his former coach, Nick Nurse, now in control, it was a pretty safe bet, and I was not behind it. Because, in my opinion, given the advanced age of Lowry, who I believe is like 37, he offered less on the court than Beverley at this point in his career. No doubt Kyle has had a far better career than Pat, but that seemed to have flipped this year. And initially, I felt pretty justified in my assessment, but like usual, I was wrong. And that's what this is about. Pat Bev is still playing well. Great, even. He put up 20 points and 10 rebounds in a victory over the Celtics earlier this week. He's playing through what was diagnosed as a season-ending wrist injury, but refuses to sit out. That's the shit we want from all our players. And he regularly expresses and displays the hunger for a championship that he often talks about on his podcast. I'm still loving what he does. However, Lowry has proven himself a valuable asset to the Sixers as well. I'm not sure how the rotation is going to be worked out when the team is fully assembled into the playoffs, but I'm assuming he'll be relegated to a bench role if everyone's healthy. And that's an excellent backup point guard to have. It's a different style of play than Tyrese Maxey. No doubt about that. Way slower, but it's smart. He lacks the physical intensity and the lateral ability on defense compared to Pat Bev at this point, but he's still taking charges in the paint. More importantly, he's much more reliable as an offensive option. His three-point shot is still there. And though we haven't seen much of it, he appears to have some chemistry with Joel Embiid. So maybe Patrick Beverley is a better player in 2024 than Kyle Lowry, but he's not a better fit for Philadelphia. No doubt he's a better podcaster, though. Please go listen to the Pat Bev with Roan show and just find the clips where he talks about loving professional wrestling. It fucking cracks me up. That guy's awesome. I am thankful for the time I had with the half season of Patrick Beverley in a Philadelphia 76ers uniform because I previously couldn't stand the guy and I've learned that he fucking rules. And if you're not a fan of Pat Bev, you're insane.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, let's get to the guest and the conversation that's most important on this episode of Punks and Dunks. It'll also act as a little bit of a preview of an upcoming episode of Getting It Out podcast. We recorded both at the same time, so keep your taters peeled for that. But I've got the envelope and the pick is in. For episode 4 of Punks and Dunks, Getting It Out selects Raymond Ruiz of Extinction Burst Records. What came first, punk or basketball?
Punk, for sure, punk. Punk came first. Basketball came because I was stuck at work hearing a bunch of guys just talk about AI and this young kid named LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony. And I was like, what are these guys talking about? Come on, Ray, you really got to get into basketball. And you know, this was before my son was born, you know?
Yeah.
And so I started following, you know, basketball a little bit. I didn't have a team. So I obviously, like, being from Southern California, you would assume that I'd be a Lakers fan, but that's just too easy and shit, you know?
I like that.
Anybody could be a Lakers fan, you know?
Everybody is a Lakers fan, unfortunately.
Yeah, like, if you want to be a champion, of course, they're amazing. They're the face of the NBA, let's face it, you know?
Right.
So, of course, it's easy to say, I'm a Lakers fan, because right after that, you automatically get, 17 championships, you get Kobe, you get Magic, you get to throw them, like, use them as weaponize them, pretty much, like, to say everybody else sucks and shit. So, I went the other route, man. I became a Clippers fan and shit. I went the hard route and shit.
I love that. I love it. And it's funny, because I felt like, when I was a kid, man, I didn't know a soul that liked the Clippers. I mean, of course, being on the East Coast too, you know, like, and now it seems like there's at least a few out there like yourself that have stepped forward. So does that mean you kind of got to come to love the team in the CP3, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan era?
Yeah. And I love the way you put that. Like you said, they decided to step out. Yeah. Like I've been in hiding all this time and shit. Thanks. But yeah, it actually started when they got Baron Davis.
Mm, okay.
And then that's my friend at work. He's like, yeah, what about the Clippers? If you're not gonna go for they're a home team, you know, they're from LA, like, they just got Baron Davis. I was like, who's Baron Davis? And then that's when I started looking him up, and it's time at Golden State, at UCLA, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you know, once they got like CP3, and then they got Blake and DeAndre. Then that's when I got more involved, you know? I was like, oh shit, wow, you know? And I started taking my family to games, and, you know, my wife and my daughter didn't really like take to it, but my son, like, man, that kid, like, he'll tell you, oh, that's so-and-so dad, like, he came from this college and averaged this many points and this many rebounds and shit. So he's a hardcore Clipper fan, you know?
That's cool. I like that. I like to hear it. I like to hear that it exists, that people are out there over there. Cause you guys are about to get your own stadium, right? It's a big deal.
Yeah. Next year.
So you keep up with them regularly then?
I try as much as I can. Yeah. My son, but I depend on my son a lot.
Right. That's good. It's good to have outlet, the safety outlet. Yeah. Well, so this year they made yet another big trade with the Sixers. Seems to happen every couple of years. There's a Sixers Clippers trade. And me as a Sixers fan, I always gotta, you know, be concerned. Where we sent you James Harden, you gave us Batum, Covington, KJ Martin, and a first round pick. I forget who else we grew in to.
Right.
I don't even remember who. Oh, PJ Tucker. He was the other one. So he went to the Clippers. How have you felt about the team this year? Because, I mean, that's a kind of a loaded question, because they went from bad to very good, and now there's concerns again. Where are you currently feeling?
I'll be honest, like, when we got James Harden, like, I wasn't happy with it. I was worried, but my son kept telling me, no, Dad, this is good. This is going to be good for us. They'll figure it out. And then they went on, like, that 6-game losing streak and shit, and I was like...
Validated.
When is this? I was like grabbing him by his collar, like, when is it going to happen? When is this? When is it going to work? And then they just started rolling, man. They started like playing good basketball. Like, they were just playing fundamental basketball and moving the rock. And that's all you need to do sometimes, you know? And then I think what screwed us up was was that break, the All-Star break. Because right after that, we're old team. We got cold, man. We got really cold. So, and right now we're barely starting to pick up steam, which is good because we're about to go into the playoffs. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm feeling like 75-25 right now. Like I still have my doubts, you know?
We're currently set up for a first round matchup against the Mavericks.
Right, right.
And that's been in the Clippers' favor the last two times they met in the first round. Clippers have beat the Mavericks both times in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If you could pick a first round playoff team for the Clippers to play, who would it be?
That are in playoff contention right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I would say the Pelicans, but the last time we played them, like, Zion was torching us, man. He's just too big. He's too strong and they're just too young, you know? I would say the Lakers.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, age wise, we match up. And everyone's always wanted that series, you know, that hallway series, as they call it, you know. And what better way to end like our time at I still call it Staples Center, but our time at a Staples Center or Crypto, whatever you want to call it, is to play the Lakers. You know,
that's a great point. I love that.
Yeah, but the thing that sucks is like if we lose, we'll never hear the end of that shit. You know, like oh, we kicked you guys out. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's true. But if you win,
But then again, if we win, they'll be like, oh, we got 17 championships. It's right, like, yeah. How many of those 17 were you there for? You know,
right? Exactly. That's all the one. The only one that matters is the last one. The one that happened last year.
And I'll tell you when. Because I know it's going to happen. When the Clips win that chip, it's going to be amazing because me and my son will be able to celebrate that first win, you know?
Yeah.
And it'll be something really special, you know? Like, we can say like, yeah, we were there for the first championship.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome. Because they are one of the few teams who haven't, even going back to when they were in Buffalo to San Diego, I believe, and then Los Angeles. A pretty long history. I don't think people realize how long they've been around.
Yeah, no, they have been around for a minute. And then I know their G League. They just threw them down to San Diego. So there is a San Diego Clippers, you know, technically now. So what about the 76ers? You know, I know you guys are
they're in a weird spot right now.
Yeah. What are you guys, like fourth seed or?
No, seventh or eighth right now.
they're
in the play-in right now.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to. Well, they're like a half a game behind Indiana or something, right? For the sixth seed. So, but it's Indiana, Philadelphia, Miami, and it's likely that they'll all end the season with the same record. It's not necessarily going to happen that way, but it could. Yeah. And in that case, the Sixers lose all the tiebreakers, so they'd be the eighth seed.
And you guys just got Embiid back though, right?
Yeah. I have, like I told you, I have the game off to the side here. I've been watching while we've been talking. He went down a couple times with his knee tonight, but he's still in. For some reason, they're up by like 20 against the Pistons. I don't know why he's playing right now, but they are likely headed for a first round matchup with either Boston, which will be fucking terrible, or Milwaukee, which might be pleasant, but either way, that's not a good way to start.
Definitely. Yeah, my son, we're playing Phoenix tonight, and then at Phoenix, and then tomorrow, I think we play Phoenix at home. So you know, I don't like Phoenix. No, I just don't like them. No, I don't like Phoenix. I don't know why. They just rub me the wrong way.
I think that's understandable. I loved them when I was a kid. I was a Charles Barkley fan, so I was I went over there when he went there. But I don't know. Coming into the team in the early 2000s, at least you're not a long suffering Clippers fan. You know what I mean?
There's people that have been they've been suffering for a long time. So
you got in when it was good, actually.
Yes, exactly. It was good, but man, we've made some. We've had some losses where it's, what do you expect? You're the Clippers, you know?
Yeah.
We had those kind of losses before. So,
It's kind of a thing to be expected. I think I've always been like, nice about the Clippers because it's like, all right. So there's one thing, like I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan too, as far as football. And it's like the Redskins, nobody's worried about the Redskins. They're never a concern, you know? So it was like, always like that with the Clippers. Oh, the Clippers, they're fine. But now it's become like a little bit of a rivalry just based on the trades and the, the players that play for both teams. There's a ton of them. I was thinking about it earlier. There are tons of like current Sixers and current Clippers or recently that have gone back and forth.
It must be the color scheme or some shit. I mean, where they feel comfortable. I don't know.
That's exact. What are your expectations of the team this year? And how much longer, I guess, should be a separate question. How much longer do you think you have the Kawhi, Paul George core?
Expectations? I mean, man, I expect to win a chip. That's what I want. You know, that's what everybody wants, you know? But this core, I know Kawhi signed an extension, like a 3-year extension, but nothing yet from PG. So I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking. I'm thinking though, maybe another 2 years, maybe during the second year, that's when they'll start like thinking about trades, you know?
Yeah. Getting some youth in there. You need to get some young guys on that team.
We do. And I just love the fact right now that the majority of the team is from California, Southern California too, you know?
Right.
That makes it special too. But I mean, we do need to get younger. We need to get some young cats in there to run up and down with the rest of the league, you know?
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I feel like that's something everybody could say, but actually that's not true. On other teams, you need some old guys. And I think you could do some trades with those teams to, I don't know, not resurge. It's just some new blood would do the team a favor.
Yeah, it's just like punk and hardcore, you know? Like,
that's right.
I mean, like, you need that young blood to get you motivated. And
it's got
to
keep the scene moving. You know, you can't have all the old guys exactly. Like you said, everybody be standing way in the back.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody's got a mosh. Somebody's got a stage dive.
Exactly.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, I got a question for you. I've asked, I guess, a little Clippers trivia. How about this?
Okay. God dang, you're going to make me use my brain. I'm going to be exposed.
No, it's not. You've got to. For this first question, I don't think anybody would get this.
Should I call my son in here or
no? I don't think anybody would get this one. And I was surprised when I discovered it. But there's one player who is a former 3-time MVP and he played for the Clippers. He wasn't an MVP on any of the seasons he was with the franchise. Do you know who that player might be? 3-time MVP.
And he's playing with, I mean, he has played.
He has played. Yeah.
He has played. Okay.
It's a bit of a trick question. I should have worded this differently. So
he's not in the front office or anything like that.
No.
Okay. Shit. Elton Brand. I don't know.
No. Moses Malone, who only played, who started his career for 2 games. He played with the franchise before they traded him away. 2 games, but then he went on to win 3 MVPs and championships. But they got rid of him.
After the fact?
They got rid of him after the first 2 games of his career.
God dang.
It was a very Clippers move. An original Clippers move, I think we should say. Actually, I believe they were the Braves back then, but yeah.
And that was before, obviously that was before he who shall not be named. You know, had the team and shit. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Here's a more recent one. There is one award that Clippers players have been given more than any other end of season award. You know, there's the, you know, I'm referring to all the reward trophies they give, or award trophies they give out for the individual players.
6-man.
That's it.
Yeah. With Jamal Crawford and who else did we have? We had
you had 3 in a row.
It was Jamal,
Lou Williams,
and was it DeAndre?
Montrezl
Harrell. That's right.
2 former Sixers, by the way.
Exactly.
Montrezl is actually a current Sixer. He just doesn't play.
Yeah, I like Montrezl. I really liked his energy, man. He was good at crashing the boards. You know,
he left it all in LA. He's never been the same.
DeAndre too. You know.
Yeah. Hey, at least he got his championship last year.
Yeah. God dang it. So did Reggie, you know.
Yeah. Eventually, so, ring chase. But hey, that's fine. They were players. They're not ring chasers. I shouldn't say.
No. You just want to have something to show for it at the end. You know. That's all. Yeah. You can't blame them for that.
I think that's fair. All right. Well, last question, basketball related. Just your prediction. Who do you expect to be in and win the NBA Finals?
Okay, if I don't say the Clippers, does that make me a?
I wouldn't say the Sixers. So
okay, I think Denver. You're saying to win the whole thing, or
well, who do you expect them to play and win? What do you expect the matchup to be and the winner?
Oh, Denver, Boston.
That's exactly the same thing I got. Yeah. Denver beating Boston is gonna.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've been the best teams all year.
You can't stop Jokic, man. He's I've never seen a player like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, that moves at his pace, as slow as he does, but yet still makes the right passes. So he can shoot the three flawlessly. Like, you can't leave him alone anywhere on the court.
No, it took me a while to come around on him. And then finally I was like, what am I denying? That guy is,
yeah,
that guy
exactly.
is incredible.
Yeah. You just enjoy it while we can, you know?
That's right. I think if they're going to win, I want them to win a lot. That's my thing.
Yeah.
Just go ahead. Do it. I don't know about you, but I love when there's dynasties in sports. Even when it's never been my team before, but I just I like to see those things, seeing greatness.
And, as much as I hated Golden State when they were the dynasty,
yeah,
I appreciate the basketball that they did give us for that time, right. You know?
Yeah, I got it. And that one's about as dead as it can get at this point.
Yeah, but yeah.
We'll see. So there you have it. That was my conversation with Raymond Ruiz of Extinction Burst Records. There is a lot more to come between he and I on an upcoming episode of Getting It Out podcast. We will discuss the label as the April record label spotlight episode. But I knew he was a big Clippers fan, so I wanted to get some time in with him and talk a little bit of basketball. And I appreciate him humoring me in that regard. But that'll do it for this episode of Punks and Dunks. I hope to be back sooner rather than later. The playoffs are on the horizon and the play-in will be in full swing a week from now. So let's end this with a song. Let's go with one of Ray's bands called Away. Their Regress R EP was released in August of last year on his Extinction Burst Records. And this is the title track from it.
Boom shakalaka!
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.